There's crispy. And then there's crispy-er. Try our new and improved Tyson Crispy Chicken Strips. Crispy just got crispy-er.
Welcome to College Football Live.
This is College Football Live, and this is the final edition of this college football season. Tom Hart alongside Cole Kublik, Mike Golic Jr. I kind of feel like that substitute teacher that comes in the final day of school, but we're going to have fun. No one's taking any homework home with them today. Gentlemen, let's look forward to the 2020 season. It's going to be here before we know it. And let's start in Austin and start with these Texas Longhorns. Two new coordinators, a new contract for Tom Herman with an extension. What do we expect of Texas going into 2020?
I think this finally may be the year, Tom, that we talk about Texas as a legitimate contender in the Big 12 and maybe even a team that can make a push towards the college football playoff. With Sam Ellinger returning at quarterback, you have a guy that has big game experience. He understands the moment. Four of their top six offensive linemen return. You've got skill receivers there that are young but extremely talented. And even though you bring in a new offensive coordinator, Herb Hand is the run game coordinator, and the familiarity is going to be there with this offense. I think Samuel Cosmi has a chance to be one of the best left tackles in college football. The physicality has been ramping up year by year under Tom Herman, and I actually expect Texas to not only contend for the Big 12, but be in the mix for the college football playoff this season.
Cole, all of the things you bring up there are valid, returning a bunch of starters on defense from a group that was pretty young last year. I get it, you're losing a lot at wide receiver. I check istexasback.com pretty religiously going into the season, and right now it is firmly planted on ugh in burnt orange. I am always going to be late to the Texas party. For some reason, I just have a mental block there. Even with all that, this seems to be a group that puts an inexplicably bad performance or two on display every year. So even though there is some of that big game cachet there, I'm still not a buyer yet at this point. I think I'm always going to be late to that one.
It's fair, but the good news here is, yes, you have to travel to Death Valley. This is going to be a totally different LSU football team that they face off against early in the season. And you know you went toe-to-toe with LSU last year when you were healthy. And you have Oklahoma. We don't know what their quarterback situation is going to look like. Some people think Spencer Rattler is just going to be the next Heisman guy. But we don't know. They lose some skill position guys as well. And Baylor has to get rid of Matt Rhule and bring in Dave Aranda as their new head coach. There's enough change to help Texas on that schedule.
This has every bit of the feel of Michigan going into last year, where because of all the change and turnover at Ohio State, this is supposed to be your year. You have re-upped and bolstered all of the parts of this. And it feels like it could have the same effect on the other side.
You sound a little like a lover scorned, and I don't blame you. Texas coming in with momentum after their bowl victory. Is it enough to carry over? We can already see the headlines from next September. Okay, now Alabama. This is an Alabama team with a major change at quarterback, unless Mac Jones earns that starting spot. What are the expectations now for the Tide?
I think they're the same as they are every year, right? Like Alabama over a long period of time has shown us that they can evolve and adapt to the things that go on there. Now, this may be their biggest challenge yet because Alabama put their faith in the hands of a quarterback for the first time, really in the Nick Saban era in a meaningful way with Tua Tagovailoa. But we saw Mac Jones completing passes at a 69% clip last year. They're getting Dylan Moses back. Alex Leatherwood coming back on an offensive line that's going to lose some talent is huge. I think they brought back enough, given what the model tends to be there, where I expect them to win the SEC and contend in the college football playoff again.
A couple teams in the East that I think could make winning the SEC interesting, but you mentioned that expectation with Alabama, Mike. It is to win a national championship. It's to win an SEC championship. The problem is, what standard are we right now measuring Alabama by? Is it Clemson and Ohio State, or is it the rest of the SEC? Because I actually think that's pretty different. There are some holes in this Alabama football team that if we talk about them playing Clemson or Ohio State, I'm not really sure how they stack up just yet. Those holes are not going to be near as problematic dealing with the SEC and the SEC West with an LSU team that's going to go backwards and an Auburn team whose front seven was completely decimated with Marlon Davidson and Derrick Brown moving on.
Well, one would think that Alabama has their own standard in Tuscaloosa, and they haven't played that in a couple of seasons. All right, let's stick with the brand names, and it's Michigan. And I don't know if Michigan deserves to be a brand name anymore based on results on the field. We know everything else that they've accomplished. Are they just not who we thought they were?
I think they're exactly, I mean, who we can expect them to be right now. That might be the cop-out answer and all this. We should keep expecting them to be great because they've got the resources and ability to. They've got a coach that's shown in multiple stops along the way that he should be capable of more. But they might be running into that problem that LSU and so many others have run into for so many years where you've just got a juggernaut that you can't get past on the other side. By any other standards, you might be a great program, but the Ohio State measuring stick has proven too much in a lot of that. So now I think is the real test. We've talked about Jim on the hot seat for a while, but going into an offseason where you've got a legit QB competition, Dylan McCaffrey's been sitting there on campus as a guy you expect to take over under a quarterback whisperer. This might be the year where we really get Jim Harbaugh true hot seat talk if it goes south again.
I think the difference, we thought last year was going to be the year, right? Shea Patterson, he came in, he was going to be the one, and it was the second year under Jim Harbaugh. Harbaugh tinkered with the offensive staff a little bit, and we thought, oh, they'll open it up some. This will give Patterson an ability to use his legs a little bit more, be more dynamic, just kind of didn't happen. I need to see more athleticism in the trenches for Jim Harbaugh's football teams. You guys mentioned Clemson. You mentioned Ohio State. We talk about Alabama. These other teams that are competing for national titles, look at LSU last year, how many guys they had on offense and defense up front leave early to go to the NFL. Michigan has to get better up front on both sides of the football if they're going to contend for a national title.
That was a veteran group up front on the offensive line that disappointed in the eyes of many. A lot of returning all Big Ten talent that did not produce the way they needed to.
So let's put Texas and Michigan on the same page here, because it seems like you have two very different outlooks on two very similar programs. When expectations rise, you're kind of giving Michigan a pass to an extent. This is what we expect, versus never ever buying in into Texas until they finally accomplish it. What's the difference in your eyes between the two?
Well, I think there's a difference. There's been a little more consistency, I would say, in conference for a team in Michigan than when Harbaugh first got there, was winning 10 games basically every year through that and really just running into a wall. And the difference was athleticism. A lot of teams are built to win in their conference. Ohio State, some of these others, they recruit elite nationwide athleticism, and that's where Michigan tends to get dropped by them every year, is athleticism both in the trenches and, quite frankly, on the perimeter.
Who was the Michigan player that stood on the podium after their bowl game and said Michigan's back with Holly Rowe? Oh, yeah, I missed that. That didn't happen. So Texas brings a lot of this on themselves. So when you talk about the difference in expectation, some of that's self-inflicted for the Longhorns.
Speaking of expectations, the expectations are that Trevor Lawrence is going to be magnificent once again, and Clemson's going to be in great position. The question remains, who else can be there out of the ACC, or can anyone give them a challenge in the ACC next year?
I mean, I look at the ACC and I know, listen, we were all looking at the Music City Bowl and saw that Louisville team that Scott Satterfield has put together right there. What a great turnaround in year one for them. And now you bring back a veteran quarterback in Mikhail Cunningham, who produced well for you at times last year. Running back who went over 1,500 yards there, Tutu Atwell, broke the single season receiving yards record at that school. So you've got talent there and the trenches certainly well taken care of there. I just think this program keeps it going in the right direction, more continuity even in year two.
Dwayne Ledford does an excellent job with the run game there in Louisville. Scott Satterfield obviously understands how to build a program. He sort of rebuilt that program at App State. This is, to me, this comes down to size and physicality. If Louisville wants to take that next step, they need to become bigger. They need to become more physical, because skill is not an issue for Louisville right now. They're going to be in the mix, but unfortunately for them, they play in the same division as the Clemson Tigers.
Different blueprint, but same buzzwords when it comes to family at both Clemson and Louisville, and that's what's impressed me the most about what Scott Satterfield has accomplished so far.
It was scary when we sat with Scott Satterfield and listened to him talk about what they had to deal with when they took over that program. Kids that didn't know where the head coach's office was.
Amazing.
Kids that weren't allowed to go in certain portions of the facility. That's going to take a while to rebuild, and I think Scott Satterfield has it headed in the right direction.
They tell me that we're not bold enough on this show, and at least Cole's socks aren't bold enough, so we're going to have bold predictions coming up as we wrap up and put the wraps on this college football season and look forward to 2020. That's next on College Football Live. Meanwhile, John Bones Jones and Dominic Reyes go head-to-head for the World Heavyweight Championship tomorrow, 10 p.m. Eastern. Prelims come your way, 8 o'clock on ESPN. You can go to ESPNplus.com/pay-per-view to get everything lined up. Heavyweight battle continues here between Golic Jr. and Kublik. We're in the trenches with the big guys.
College Football Live is brought to you by Jeep. There's only one.
Next 3 to 4 years, I'll be taking my academic and my athletic talents to the University of South Carolina.
Good things come to those who wait, and the South Carolina staff had to wait after Jordan Burch announced he was going to go to South Carolina. He didn't turn the paperwork in, well, until much later than most anticipated. What are the Gamecocks getting out of this prospect?
Well, Tom, he's big enough, he's physical enough, and doggone it, he's athletic enough. He's the point guard on their basketball team, and I fully expect Jordan Burch, with the departure of Javon Kinlaw, to get significant reps in the middle of that South Carolina defense this fall.
I appreciate the affirmation. Let's give some affirmation to freshman quarterbacks who had good seasons, and now you guys expect to have great sophomore seasons.
I'm going to go with Bo Nix, Auburn quarterback. I thought he got off to a great start. You go out as a true freshman and beat Oregon week one, that's gigantic. But he faded a little bit late in the season, began to not trust his protection, didn't get through his progressions the way that he needed to. Now Chad Morris comes in as the offensive coordinator. Question will be, how much does Chad Morris actually have influence on this offense? And if he doesn't, does he at least have some influence on the progression of Bo Nix's game?
I'll take quarterbacks who also beat Oregon for 400 here. Let's go Jaden Daniels at ASU. The job he did in the middle of Herm Edwards' offense. 5 games over 300 yards passing, including the 400-plus yard gem against Oregon, knocking off them the number 6 team in the country. Bright future amidst Herm's beast out there in the desert.
Those guys transitioning year one to year two, transfer quarterbacks transitioning from one program to another, and in recent history, transfer QBs have won Heisman trophies and national championships. Who can make that jump?
I think KJ Costello going to that offense of Mike Leach at Mississippi State. This is a guy who already has a 3,500-yard passing season under his belt as a sophomore back at Stanford. But now you pair all of those tools, 6'5", 220-plus, with a Mike Leach offense that usually challenges for among the most prolific in college football every year. That is rising up draft boards faster than we can keep track of.
He'll have the numbers. My only concern, Mike, he's not going to be there in spring ball, so that nonverbal communication isn't going to be there. The other one to watch, I'd say Jamie Newman, Wake Forest transfer going down to Georgia. They have the defense. It'll be a championship caliber defense. He's got the running backs around him. George Pickens is a number one receiver. You have a new offensive coordinator in Todd Monken and a transfer quarterback. Can that all gel by the time the season begins?
A lot of positives there. We need some balance. Give me the coach on the hot seat going into this summer.
It's got to be Clay Helton. And I feel like we've been having that conversation for the last few years. And when you look at it, it's no wonder USC struggles to recruit when that's the constant background. We've all seen people in relationships where we go, well, they're clearly not into each other. Why are they still doing this? And it's starting to affect them. So one way or another, USC needs to make a decision. I get he's under contract for a couple more years. You need to know by the end of this year so that your program can go on sturdy ground forward into whatever the future is.
Unfortunately, Tom, I think Clay Helton's the poster coach for coaches on the hot seat right now. There's not another guy in college football that's even close to what he's had to deal with or going to deal with if things don't go well this season. Oh, and guess what? You open up with Alabama.
Well, speaking of the hot seat, a hot mic for Northwestern head coach Pat Fitzgerald. They were looking for some help with their radio broadcast crew to sit next to Dave Emmett. They put a help wanted ad in Twitter. Guess who responded? Their former linebacker and head coach. So he'll be on the call for the game against Michigan next week. Which college football head coach would you guys like to hear call a basketball game?
I'm going Ed Orgeron. I think Coach O, first off, I don't know if he has any idea what a charge is, what a rebound is, the difference between a three-pointer and a two-point shot, or what an assist is, but just him out there trying to talk about what he's seeing on the field would absolutely be magnificent.
No chance he calls any fouls in a pickup game involving Coach O. How about give me Lane Kiffin? If he's half as entertaining in the booth as he is on Twitter, we would all be in for gold.
I can't believe nobody went Mike Leach. He talked about the Martians and Pirates the other time, the whole time. He's a bold coach. Let's go to bold predictions for 2020.
I'm going to take Iowa State wins the Big 12. Brock Purdy back at quarterback. Breece Hall did not become the full-time tailback till 3-4 weeks into the season. I love what Matt Campbell is building there. We talked a little bit earlier in the show about how a couple of teams in the Big 12 taking a step back. I think Matt Campbell and Iowa State can take a step up, and they win the Big 12.
You know what? I'm going to go Kentucky wins the SEC East in this one, and I know Bill Wall.
Hold on.
Bill Wall. Listen, everyone's going to forget this by next season. You're bringing back a lot of talent on the offensive line of scrimmage. We know the Lynn Bowden experiment is by need and necessity in that one. Great recruiting class, more 4 stars than they've ever had. Let's roll with the Wildcats.
Pandering to Big Blue Nation. Football isn't over. The XFL is coming up. We'll go over that. Former college star. We want to see at the next level coming up this weekend, and a look back at the images of 2019 as College Football Live rolls on.
This is the letter of Uhotan power, mystical, unique, symbolizing both possibility and denial. Welcome to an identity, a signature, a generation, the variable, the factor. For the love of football, here we are on the axis, marking the place we need to be. Saturday and Sunday on ABC and ESPN, the XFL.
For the love of football, X gonna give it to you. That's great. We got the barking in. So many great college stars of yesteryear playing in the XFL, including Cardale Jones, who won a national championship at Ohio State. Cole, who are you looking forward to seeing?
Landry Jones. You're going to be there in Dallas watching him this weekend. He gets to throw the football around in Hal Mumme's offense, which I think is going to be a lot of fun. We know he had a lot of success as the Oklahoma Sooners quarterback. We've seen him in the NFL. Heck, NFL teams were even trying to get him back this offseason. But Landry Jones, to me, a guy that could have big success, mainly because of his targets, including Jazz Ferguson, former LSU signee, that went to Northwestern State, big physical freak show of a target.
Let me go out to Seattle. Let's get some Dragons. Give me B.J. Daniels throwing touchdowns to Keenan Reynolds, the NCAA's all-time leader in rushing touchdowns, the former Navy quarterback there. Very excited to see the work he's doing. An unbelievable athlete. Certainly get plenty of chances to shine there. Maybe see if he can find his way back into the NFL.
And by the way, you put a quarterback at wide receiver. You also have double passes are legal. Forward double passes legal in this league. So who knows if we get some trickery out of Keenan Reynolds, who was sensational at the United States Naval Academy. So Cole and I will be involved with the XFL going forward. What's on your calendar?
Yeah, so some people would say that working with you two is equivalent to climbing a mountain, but I figured I would try out the real thing. So I am going to be joining Chris Long's foundation, the Water Boys, and going to climb Mount Kilimanjaro in Africa to try and help raise money and awareness for people that desperately need clean drinking water over there. Their foundation does great work building wells in East Africa, in that part of the world. And so I'm excited to go over there. We're going to raise money and awareness for that. We're going to make that climb over the course of 6 days in Tanzania. I think I'm in good shape after dealing with you guys. We'll find out if that actually works out or not.
And I thought picking Kentucky to win the East was a climb, but it is what it is. Final edition of College Football Live. Thanks for being with us. We'll see you next year. Now, the images of the year.
No regrets. No fear.
You've earned the right to play in big games.
To take the lead.
Does it get in?
Clemson will survive.
Complete to Jefferson. And that might be the knockout punch.
He pulled it. Unbelievable. South Carolina wins.
Jonathan Taylor. Badgers putting a beat down on Michigan.
We've got a banner day for Michigan.
On the Gen B.
Is that caught? It is. OBJ, eat your heart out.
Leaping, catching. Fifth touchdown today for Smith.
It's good from 56.
Game ball and scholarship.
Yeah! Oh, it's a trick play. The Bulldog launches down the middle.
Open score, touchdown.
Takes off running straight ahead to the Owls. Welcome to Columbus, Justin Fields.
A-State head coach Blake Anderson lost his wife Wendy last month.
She's with me all the time. I've never seen anybody fight as hard as she fought the last 2 years. I've got to live up to her legacy.
The holder on that extra point was Casey O'Brien, a four-time cancer survivor.
Alinsky letting the world know he is around, throwing dives.
Tua hit hard, and he is not giving up.
Thompson will run the ball. He is in again.
The ball was illegally touched.
K-State's going to win.
UCLA scores for the sixth time in a row.
Virginia Tech has won it in six overtimes.
TD for CD. Oh, mama.
Throws, and it is intercepted.
Oklahoma.
A very, very dark night in this proud program's history.
Away from him by Chase Young.
Sack number four.
It's caught. It is a touchdown. And penalty markers get thrown. Kick is up. And it is no good.
Breaks through. Stays upright. Touchdown, Tigers.
Intercepted down the sideline. Tigers. Touchdown, Auburn.
Kick is on the way.
He missed it. Hit the upright.
Burrow spins away. Throwing on the run. How about Joe Burrow?
The 2019 winner of the Heisman Trophy is Joe Burrow.
They say touchdown. Totally outrageous.
A special teams disaster for Wisconsin.
Seeing that smoke with a straight arm still going. Touchdown.
If you want to make it rain, better stand and deliver.
LSU's on their way to the national championship game.
And I'll keep rising up, keep rising up.
Oh, can't stop me now.
Lawrence in a foot race. Touchdown, Tigers.
Fires to the end zone. It's intercepted. And the Tigers are not going to be dethroned tonight.
Tigers versus the Tigers for the title.
Burrow going to launch downfield. Touchdown, LSU.
Higgins is off and running. Touchdown.
Wow.
Burrow looking for the kill shot.
Jump ball. Touchdown.
Burrow said it's time to fit me for that ring.
LSU sits on the throne of college football.